sing golden hues, the prettiest views I ever knew.
It is Steve Dale's Other World, and I am honored to have in the studio with me, can I call you a friend?
Of course, yes.
Governor Pat Quinn.
Do you Dale is my friend, for a long time, Steve, you've been a friend of all our living creatures for as long as, didn't you help Noah build a boat some time ago? Yeah, a long time.
I want to pull that clip. Do you feel the love? I've walked with you down the street, and you don't get very far without people stopping you. Now, let me continue just for one moment. There are some public officials that are no longer in office. People say hello. They may want to take a selfie with that person, but they don't run up to them and hug them. You're a huggable guy.
Yeah,
and people,
okay.
I mean,
yeah.
We just saw with the security person downstairs. She said, and this is absolutely true, she said, "Who are you waiting for?" And I said, because she thought I was waiting for a dog, because that's what I often wait for down there. And I said, "It is Governor Pat Quinn." And she said, "Oh, I just love that man." And she said it exactly that way. And she said, "The problem now in Illinois is there is no Governor Pat Quinn."
Well, I wish I was still governor, but, you know, time marches on. And, you know, one day a peacock, the next day a feather duster, you know. and so I didn't win the last election, but, you know, I really believe in grassroots democracy. You know, we had breakfast a while back, and I told you about that, Steve. The way you really get that going is petition drives. Our country began, really, where people petitioned for redress of grievance, and it's as American as apple pie. And we're doing a petition drive now for two referendums.
I want to get to in a second.
Sure.
But we happen to have some time because this is a podcast.
Indeed.
So I want to talk to you about you. You lose the election, mm-hmm. So you don't plan on that.
So, no, you don't.
Hope
for better
results.
Yeah.
So what has Pat Quinn been doing except maybe sleeping until 10 o'clock and watching Nick at Night late at night? I don't know.
Well, I do stay up late at night. I get up pretty early in the morning. But I believe in volunteerism. Before I was governor, when I was governor, and definitely I have a little more time now, and I volunteer for causes that help veterans. This coming week, Saturday, there's the Greater Chicago Food Depository Walk. I've been involved with them for some time.
There have been some issues that resonated with you from the very start. Our veterans is one.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that?
Well, I think anyone who answers the call to duty and raises their hand and says, "Here I am, take me," when it comes to serving our country and protecting our democracy. Abraham Lincoln said a long time ago, "We and the home front owe a permanent debt of gratitude to those who have borne the battle and to take good care of them and their families." And my family believed in that. My father was in World War II. He was on an aircraft carrier, and he was in the Navy for 3 years, 1 month, and 15 days. He told all of us that, and that was his military service. And I think our family always believed in patriotism, as I'm sure all the listeners do. And as we approach 4th of July, one of the very best ways to express our gratitude to live in the greatest democracy on planet Earth and the first democracy is to help our men and women in uniform when they come home, and sometimes they need a helping hand. There's one thing called Hero Miles, where you can give a portion of your frequent flyer miles to a common fund, heromiles.org, I think it is. And what that is they provide free airplane tickets to the family members of soldiers who are still in military hospitals in Bethesda, Walter Reed, in Brooke Army Medical Center down in San Antonio, Texas. That's the burn unit. And there's also Landstuhl, Germany, where I visited, where our American soldiers who've been wounded oftentimes have to spend months in the hospital. And they have a family member or spouse or a child or mom and dad come and visit. Very important to recovery. So anybody listening, you can help our by, you know, going online to heromiles.com. And I every year try to give some of my frequent flyer miles, you don't have to give all of them, to this common fund that then provides free airplane tickets to service members.
Do you think that we've gotten a bit better? I mean, there was a point in time where the veterans would come home and feel unappreciated. I think that maybe society has gotten better about that. And the hesitation you hear in my voice is I'm not sure that the government support is there for them. The VA administration,
yeah.
I don't know. I mean, you tell me what you think, but it seems that when medical care or psychological care is required, that our government may not be responding as they should for these people who have given their hearts and souls
their
for
last full measure
that's
of
right.
devotion. That's
yes.
what Abraham Lincoln said in the Gettysburg Address. And I think it is important. Obviously, after the Vietnam War, there was very bad things happened. Many of our service members couldn't even wear their uniform in public.
Horrible.
And I think our society has gone much more positively in recent years, but we still have work to do. And when I was governor, we passed a law. I got it passed for veterans cash. It's a scratch-off lottery ticket that people could buy, and the proceeds would go to help veterans who are homeless. You know, one-third of the veterans or the homeless of our state are veterans, and we have work to do there, obviously. And then also post-traumatic stress disorder, which is the signature injury of the conflicts that we're in, that and traumatic brain injury. And so the proceeds of veterans' cash go to help all the programs that are helping veterans deal with post-traumatic stress. And it's our responsibility as a society, as a grateful nation, to thank all those men and women who did raise their hand and said, take me.
Yeah.
I'm ready to serve and protect our right to speak and to have freedom of religion and assembly and freedom to pass petitions, which
we'll
I
get
certainly
to.
Believe
we'll
in.
Get,
okay.
We'll get to. I promise. Now,
right.
You mentioned the lottery. It makes me think that I'm not sure that we'd want to buy a lottery ticket in Illinois because you don't get anything for it. Pretty soon, I hear, as you sit back, and this is a tough one, but I'm going to ask it, as you sit back and see what's happening with the state now, I mean, you may have had your disagreements with Madigan and, I mean, all I could list, right, all these people, but it never was anything like. In fact, I don't know in the history of America that it's been anything ever. I mean, this is really getting to be astounding.
Yeah, it's really bad, bad, bad for everyday people. The governor's first responsibility is to get a budget passed. And that's not me talking only, I believe that, but also Jim Edgar, who was a different political party than I was, but he also served as governor. And, you know, you can't have a situation, it's really just plain wrong, where there's no budget for months and months at a time. What does the budget do? It funds education and health care and public safety, which is very, very important right now in our country's and our state's history. And then also we have human services to help people who fall through the cracks and may be vulnerable and they need a helping hand to get back on their feet.
And now they will fall through those cracks because the cracks are there and there's no funding, you know?
That's right. And, you know, I think it's very, very important that we, the people, come first, not politicians, not bickering between politicians. It's essential to have a decent budget where the revenue equals expenditures. You know, it's all about arithmetic. You know, when I was governor, I was there for 6 years, and it was an honor to be governor, a privilege. But every year, all 6 years, we had to pass a budget, and you had to work on the revenue equaling expenditures. And it's not easy. It's tough. But it has to be done for the people, not for the politicians.
Are you surprised that it's gone this long?
Yeah, I am. I think that the governor, Rauner, ought to do a better job when it comes to the budget, to have impossible demands, putting things that aren't related to revenue or expenditures on that process has really stymied it for months at a time. You know, you just can't have somebody come along and put conditions on fundamental things that are necessary to help our society grow jobs. Illinois is, you know, unemployment rate has gone up since I was governor. And my last 25 months, the unemployment rate was either stable or declining. And our economy suffers when we don't have a budget. And, you know, the governor is a quarterback, the quarterback of Illinois. And it's important to lead us to a better place, not to a worse place.
The quarterback has to work with teammates. Is that the issue? I mean, you can be a great businessman and as a businessman and a CEO dictate whatever you like.
Yeah.
I suspect that the governor cannot dictate all that the governor might want to dictate.
It's called democracy.
You know, is that what it is?
We're not in a monarchy. You know, King George III in England, he was around for 59 years on the throne, and he could just demand things. We don't have that in Illinois or America. We have government of the people, and not everybody agrees, and you just have to accept that. Just because you have a lot of money doesn't mean that money can buy you facts, you know, and I think that's the problem with the incumbent governor right now. He thinks his money can just require people to salute him, and we don't live in that kind of imperial society. We live where everyday people who are the heart and soul of Illinois, who do the jobs, who pay the taxes, who are raising children, they want a good state with a growing economy, with less unemployment, not more, and it's time for the people to get what they need and what they want. And again, that's why I believe in petition passing, because if we had a referendum process at the state level where we could petition on a budget that the people want, we would have done that quite a long time ago. I think we need to pass that reform to give voters a chance to take charge if politicians can't get the job done.
So explain that. I mean, mm-hmm. This could go on a while, apparently.
Yeah.
I, you know, it's shocking. First of all, are both sides of the aisle culpable, do you think?
Well, no, I think the governor is really primarily to blame. Bruce Rauner made these impossible demands. He wants to break unions. He wants to end collective bargaining and reduce wages. You know, people aren't going to go for that. That's, just castor oil, and it's not really going to help our economy at all. I think what we should have in Illinois, and what a number of states in the Midwest and around the country have, is when you have gridlock, when you have politicians that aren't getting the job done, then the voters can pass petitions for a statewide referendum.
So how would that
work?
On the
budget. Well, you would basically work out a budget that is passed by the people through referendum rather than relying on the governor and the legislature.
But someone's got to take charge and say, this is what we want to do.
Well, we need an amendment in our Constitution to allow it to happen in Illinois. But it did happen, for example, in California a few years ago. They had a bad budget deficit. I happen to know the governor there. His name is Jerry Brown. He is the oldest governor in California history, and he was the youngest once upon a time years
yes.
ago. But anyhow, he went out and gathered signatures on a petition with a large group of people, and they put a referendum on the ballot that really got their budget back in right order. And,
but that's a governor that wanted to do that. Right now in Illinois, we have no governor that wants to do that.
No, he wants to fight, the other side. And, that isn't the way to move our state forward, particularly because if you have these cutthroat policies that are basically hurting ordinary people who are the heart and soul of our state. We should never forget that our programs for schools and health care, as well as human services and public safety, these are vital to the lives of millions of Illinoisans. So not to have a budget is not only bad for our economy, which has not improved since Rauner showed up, but also it harms people in their ability to conduct their lives in a positive way.
Well, in our states, we're junk bond status almost?
Pretty close. Illinois, needs to build more things. We need to repair more things, whether it's our roads, our bridges.
But we can't do that without a budget.
Well, you need a good credit rating to get good interest rates and to really do it right. You know, clean water. When I was governor, Steve, it was very important to invest in clean water. I think all of us know that, certainly after Flint, Michigan.
Yes.
And they're finding lead in the pipes there at many schools, and that's very dangerous for children.
Yes.
So we really have to make these investments in making sure we protect our water. And, you can't have potholes in the roads. That's going to cause damage to cars and trucks and cause accidents. So, you got to build things. You got to build new schools or repair old schools. And those are the kind of things that make a decent society.
Well, I think we've gotten – I don't know the technicalities of this, but there's money to build – the roads, it's all set to go, but without the appropriation, which can't happen yet until they get together and do this, the both sides, it can't happen. So the money can even be there.
Yeah, you need an appropriation passed and signed. We have something here in Chicago called Lower Wacker Drive. It's underneath downtown.
Yes.
And for years, there was not investment to repair it. It was falling in disrepair.
Mm-hmm.
And when I became governor, that was one of the projects. It was a $1 billion project. It put a lot of people to work to fix it up. And now it's a modern 21st century road. And we're doing the same thing with the Jane Byrne interchange. That's going to connect and reduce the congestion of Dan Ryan and Kennedy and Eisenhower. You know, this is the number one bottleneck in America. We can't stand on the sidelines and wring our hands if we're going to be a moving society that creates jobs and makes things better for people, less traffic accidents, less traffic congestion, and putting people to work. You got to make these investments, and that's not happening now either. So I think it's important to, you know, as I said, democracy is not a spectator sport. It's not something we stand on the sidelines and watch politicians bicker. It's important that we, the people, have safety valves or tools of democracy where we can pass petitions to put referendums on the ballot. So we give them the message, and they have to abide by it, the politicians.
I'm about to go there. I promise.
Uh-huh.
We're in the studio. We're at WGN Radio. This place means a lot to you.
Yeah, it does. You know, I was quite young at the time, back in 1976. That's 40 years ago. And we were doing our first petition drive to end advance pay for legislators in Springfield. Believe it or not, all the legislators got their entire annual pay on the first day of office before they did a single day's work. And this had
Wouldn't
gone
that be
on.
Nice for all of us,
indeed.
Right?
Indeed. And some of them resigned from office. Still kept their advance pay. Some went to jail, and they kept their advance pay in the jailhouse. And this had been going on for 100 years.
Wow.
So we started this petition drive, and Wally Phillips, who was the legendary morning man on WGN, and Marilyn Miller was his producer.
Marilyn was just inducted, as you
Hall
know.
Of Fame. Yep. Yeah, the WGN Hall of Fame, and so was Wally there, and many others. We had all the – Bob Collins helped us along the way. And Roy Leonard and many, many more. But Wally Phillips heard about this and he told his listeners, they have a petition out there. You can sign the petition to end advance pay for politicians. He told me, we're going to get this law passed. So we gathered 635,158 signatures, thanks to WGN, and we ended the practice of advance pay. They passed a law against it. And I was in the gallery of the House of Representatives shortly after they passed this law, and a representative introduced the 4-H queen from Macomb and the Cub Scouts from Carbondale. Then he pointed up in the gallery and he said, there's that Pat Quinn who did that petition drive, and they stood up and booed for 3 minutes. Standing boovation. But we did what the people wanted, not what the insiders wanted. So that's the whole principle of passing petitions for referendums. Sometimes the people have to step in and take charge. And here in Chicago, where I live and you live, we have a new petition drive called TakeChargeChicago.org. It is a petition drive for two referendums. One would put term limits on the mayor of Chicago. The president has term limits. Of the 10 biggest cities in America, 9 out of 10 have term limits on their mayor. Only Chicago doesn't, and we've had some problems here.
Really?
And yes, we have. And, you know, 20 communities in Illinois have used this petition and referendum process to pass term limits on their mayor. So it's not only in other states, but it's right here in Illinois.
Now, let me ask you a question. I imagine you've gotten enthusiastic support for this.
But yeah, we just started this week, yes.
Yeah, but the question I have is why?
Well, I think that people are not happy with a government that's sort of top-down ordering people around and telling them what to do. Our petition drive to put a two-term limit on the mayor of Chicago, 2 4-year elected terms, is a way for the voters to make the rules for the mayor rather than the mayor ordering them around. And I think that's an important principle.
And Chicago has a history of having a mayor, who's been a mayor. And say what you want to say, good or bad, about the first Mayor Daley. Mm-hmm. He was there, I don't know, 18 years, something
21
like
years.
21 years. Then the second Mayor Daley was
22 years.
Even surpassing what his dad was there for. Is 22 years too long? And before you answer, in defense of our current mayor,
he stepped into a quagmire.
Yeah.
And one could argue the last 5, 6, 7 years of the second Mayor Daley's term, he just kicked the can down the road and down the road and down the road. And now we are all stuck with it, as is, whether you like him or not, our current mayor.
Well,
is there truth to this?
Well, I would say this. The president of the United States, according to our Constitution, has an 8-year limit on how long they can serve. George Washington voluntarily limited his terms to 2 to 8 years. And all the founding fathers who began our country, our democracy, they were very suspicious of concentrated power for too long. They had just gotten rid of King George and the House of Lords and all that. So Ben Franklin and Thomas Jefferson and James Madison, George Washington, they all believed in rotation of office, they called it. You would not have somebody in the same office for too long. And that is a very good tradition, because when you know you have a limited amount of time in office, you cannot kick the can down the road. You must address issues. You must take on the things that come your way. President Obama, you know, who pointed out just the other day, there's a provision in the Constitution. He's only going to serve 8 years. And he said he thought that was a good idea because it brings in fresh ideas and fresh people. And we ought to have a referendum on this in Chicago. We have to get enough signatures, or even for 100,000 signatures, to put this referendum on the ballot for the voters to debate and hear the arguments, pro and con. But every other state, in every city that has had this referendum, it's passed overwhelmingly with the everyday people. And any of the podcast listeners out there, I'm Pat Quinn, and our group is Take Charge Chicago, and our website is takechargechicago.org. And please sign on board. We go to barbecues. We were at the Blues Festival. We go to movies in the park. All kinds of things in the summertime. You know, you can get a lot of signatures. You'd be amazed, if you have our petition, how many new friends you're going to get, because people are going to want to sign that petition.
This they will. Quick. Is it also available online to
yes.
sign?
Yeah, if you visit our website, takechargechicago.org, you can download the actual petition. And people have done that, quite a few. And then you can gather the signatures on that paper and then send it in to us. And, if anybody doesn't
Can you
have,
actually sign, just if you don't want to gather other signatures and just your own name, can you do that online also?
Well, you can sign your own petition, but you must download the piece of paper.
Okay.
Yeah. And, you know, for folks that maybe don't have the internet or anything, it's our phone number is 773-999-2016. 999-2016, the area code 773. And this is a grassroots endeavor. This is everyday people. Somebody told me recently, you've gathered more autographs in Illinois than anybody else over my lifetime, you know. I don't get autographs of celebrities. It's everyday people who sign our petitions, whether it's the End Advance Pray for Politicians or put term limits on the mayor of Chicago. The people are speaking that way.
So this is one of two ideas, and tell us about the second.
The second one is something called Consumer Advocate. Very, very important. And, you know, we get our
property
tax
bill. This is
what
you began. This is how you began.
Well, this Citizen Utility Board.
Yeah.
I began that group with a referendum in 1982 right here in Chicago. It's CUB, as it's called, Citizen Utility Board, is a consumer group that takes on the utilities.
And that's what you did.
Yes, I did. But we need a consumer movement just for more than just utilities, you know, whether
sure.
it's insurance issues or the cable TV or dealing with the internet
but
service
we have
providers.
A consumer department for the city of Chicago.
Well, that person's appointed by the mayor, and an elected consumer advocate, elected by the people, and actually the person running the department under our proposal would be paid less money than the person who's appointed right now. We have a lower salary, but have a clear mission of fighting for the everyday consumer and taxpayer. And anybody who gets a property tax bill, that's not a very welcome letter right now. It's very difficult for people to afford to pay all these garbage fees and water fee increases and now property tax increases. You need an advocate, in my opinion, who's elected, not appointed by the mayor, but elected by the people to really fight for us. And it's worked in another place. New York has what they call public advocate that's been very, very successful. And we want to have a consumer advocate here in Chicago.
And you have a separate petition for that.
No, they're both in the same petition.
Okay.
Yeah, and so by gathering the signatures across Chicago, we have to get registered voters in Chicago to sign. But anybody listening who lives in the suburbs, as long as you're a U.S. citizen and over 18 years old, no matter where you live, even outside of Chicago or Illinois, you can circulate the petition, but you must only get names of people who live in Chicago and are registered to vote. And it's all about, you know, here we are around the 4th of July. It's what our country began as. We didn't want to have a monarch telling us what to do. And there were a lot of courageous men and women who started the American experiment in democracy, and we want to keep it going in the 21st century.
Well, I can't help but ask you the obvious question here. Do you want to do this because maybe Pat Quinn wants to be mayor?
No, I would say, you know, somebody asked me that the other day, and I said, I started as a petition passer.
You did.
And I have a friend who said, you know, someday you're going to be in a nursing home. I hope that's a long way off.
What?
But she said, well, I know when you're out in that nursing home, you're going to be collecting signatures on a petition. Yeah.
We want cleaner bathrooms.
Yeah, whatever it is. But I believe it's back to the future for me. You mentioned the Citizen Utility Board. Mm-hmm. That came about because of a referendum. The largest consumer group in Illinois that fights for us as consumers against utility companies began as a referendum in Chicago. Ending advance pay for Illinois politicians in Springfield began as a petition and referendum campaign. And now term limits on the mayor and electing a consumer advocate to, I think, very good referendums gives us a chance to vote on these issues. And I think it's very important to have that process where we're not just voting for candidates, but also voting on issues that count.
Do you praise the internet every day? Because when you first began mm-hmm. to do the petitioning, mm-hmm. you literally would have to go out on the street and say, sign. You still do that. And yeah. as you point out, make a lot of new friends that way. It's still not as good as standing on the street with the dog. But I guess standing on the street with the dog and a petition is even better. But now on the internet, you can get all these names a lot more quickly and also build momentum.
There's
because
no
what you're suggesting is clearly among many a popular idea.
Yes, social media, digital democracy, whatever you want to call it, is a way for all of us to make democracy work better for everyday people, not just for us to watch politicians fight, but for us to take charge. So that's why it's TakeChargeChicago.org. Go visit and learn about our program. But you mentioned a dog. I had a dog. His name was Bailey. He passed away.
Yes.
It's tough to even talk about it today.
Yeah.
But 14 and a half years. And I listened to Steve Dale along the way. And if you want a dog to live a long time, good diet and lots of walking. And
true.
Bailey would sometimes, when our petition drives, would stand by me. He was very well behaved. You know, once in a while, a big dog comes by, he'd bark at him. You know, he was a little Yorkshire Terrier. You know, he saw a lot of things in the course of 14 and a half years when it came to politics and definitely petition passing. And, you know, if you want to go to your local dog park or where you're walking a dog and you meet somebody else walking a dog, have a petition in your pocket and say you want to sign a petition, the Take Charge Chicago petition, to put term limits on the mayor. You'll find a lot of people sign up.
I think a lot of people will sign up with the current attitude people have. I'll ask again because I am, after all, a reporter. But
yes.
You're adept at dealing with these things, that people like me. What's next for you? Is it mayor? Is it governor? I mean, you cannot be happy, clearly, with mm-hmm. the way things are going in Chicago. And mm. most residents, as exemplified by the last election, I mean, mm-hmm. Chuy Garcia almost became
yeah.
our mayor. You know, that says something right there. And it was close.
Mm-hmm.
It was darn
yeah.
close.
Yeah.
And I don't think Republicans are happy with the way our state is going.
No.
What's next for you?
I think Chicago and Illinois, under the leadership, if you want to call it that, it's not going in the right direction. Voters know that, and they have a feeling, I think, of we've got to do something about it. We're not going to let our city or our state slide backwards. So, you know, that's what the referendum process is. It's a way of the public for more than 100 years stepping in and saying, here are the rules to all the incumbent politicians. And that's why I think that's a good thing to have right now in Chicago, to have a term limit on the mayor as well as an elected consumer advocate for taxpayers and for consumers. You know, the whole structure of the current government in Chicago has produced high property taxes and unfair fees on garbage collection. You know, we never had a fee on garbage collection until now.
Do you think there's a Chicagoan who does not feel nickeled and dimed?
I think that is exactly how people feel, and I think it's not fair. All these artificial fees and levies are
parking.
Not...
You want to talk about the thing that disturbs people the most, not only finding it, but what you have to pay for it, and the fact that you can't go enjoy a movie or a restaurant for more than 2 hours, which hurts businesses.
Indeed. You know, here's the thing. When you have mayors that are in too long, or for that matter, governors, then they forget maybe some basics. And what happened in Chicago is the parking meters got sold by the city. The mayor went ahead with that. That was a bum deal, a terrible deal for the taxpayers and the people of our city. So that's another reason for term limits on the mayor. 8 years is enough. Two elected terms of 4 years.
22 years, is not your number?
No. As I said earlier in our little podcast here, King George in England was on the throne for 59 years. And obviously he got on the wrong track. That's why we had to have a revolution and send him on his way. But, you know, what our country began at was we should always have fresh ideas, fresh people coming into the system. And that's what our petition drive is about. And it's only going to succeed if we get enough folks to sign our petition, Steve. We need 100,000 signatures and then circulate it. If you can sign your own, get your friends and folks you work with, you know, people you go to church with or whatever, you'd be amazed how quickly you can get those signatures. And this is where the people make the law. You know, if we get this done, it'll be the people of Chicago putting term limits on the mayor. Obviously, the insiders are not for that, but we the people are.
So I better understand. It's Take Charge Chicago. And
.org.
.org. Thank you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So if it's done, and it will be, I mean, you'll get 100,000 signatures.
Well,
I can't imagine not.
Yeah.
Then what happens then? Is there a vote?
Yeah. What
a
we
referendum?
Have to do is file a petition with the city. Mm-hmm. And then there's a referendum after we file our petitions, and then the voters will vote yes or no on whether they want term limits on the mayor and an elected consumer advocate. And so it's grassroots democracy. It's what our country is all about. It's what the people should have, not just the insiders.
One more question for you, and it's where we began.
Mm-hmm.
I've walked down the street with you, and as I said, people love you. It's like, do you often wonder, gee whiz, what happened? You know, this isn't quite right.
Well, I know
they do. They do. You're likable personally.
Yeah,
and
I hope so.
Well,
yeah.
It really, it's like, what the heck?
Wrong? Keep in mind, Steve, in our country and definitely here in Chicago and Illinois, there are people with big money, big shots with millions and millions of dollars. In the last election I ran against somebody with $70 million. That's a lot of money. We cannot allow big money to take over our democracy. And that's why I believe so much in petition passing and have for 40 years, that's a way for people to have their voice heard, not just the plutocrats and those with all the money and resources. And in the last election for mayor, the incumbent had far, far millions more dollars than his challengers. And that's not a healthy thing. And so by having term limits, we basically say to anyone, you're not going to be in there forever. It's not the imperial mayoral office. You get a chance to make a difference and then step aside like George Washington did after two terms. And I think that's a better way to go.
Okay, we'll leave it there. TakeChargeChicago.org. He is my friend, and he's a good guy. Governor Pat Quinn, thank you so very much.
Well, thank you, Steve Dale, the champion of all living creatures. And I really admire Steve's work. We worked, when I was governor, on a lot of good things to help our animals who are very, very close to us, our dogs, our cats, and all the animals that are really sent to us by God to make life better on this earth.
Well, let me say one more thing then. I should just leave it at that and leave it with the last word with you, but I do want to say
you're
one more
thing.
Hero.
You really are a strong voice for all our living creatures.
I will say that it wasn't a coincidence that during the time you were governor, Illinois became, and this is true, the most humane state in America. So for that, Governor Pat Quinn, thank you.
Thank you, Steve.